sempre a voz da criatura que sai aqui a
If you happen to be in Naples and want to know what's going on in the world, all you have to do is stroll down to San Gregorio Armeno and find out what figurines the artisans are working on to place in the cribs this Christmas season. And when something's happening in the city itself, this applies to an even greater extent. So when Pope Benedict visited Naples on Sunday, if he'd happened to wander down there, he would have recognized a white-clad figurine on show, representing him in his papal garb. But as we know, popes don't amble down narrow streets. What they do, and what Pope Benedict did, however, was pay a visit to the venue of the most popular devotion in town, this city's cathedral, which isn't very far away from there. Dedicated to San Gennaro, it's where the blood of this martyr is carefully guarded under lock and key, in two glass vials, blood which famously liquefies 3 times a year. And on Sunday, Pope Benedict went there to pray and to venerate the relics of this saint, to the great joy of the Neapolitan people. This cathedral has been described over the centuries by all travellers, from Charles Dickens to, more recently, H.V. Morton. I've asked Sean Patrick Lovett to read you a passage from H.V. Morton's A Traveller in Southern Italy. Let's listen.
The church is built upon the site of a temple of Apollo, and those Neapolitans fortunate enough to be christened there receive baptism at a huge basalt urn decorated with Bacchanalian symbols, which is said to have come from a temple of Dionysus. In this perhaps appropriate pagan setting, the head and blood of St. Januarius are kept in an ornate chapel, glittering with gold, silver, and precious marbles. A red brocade curtain conceals the silver doors of a safe behind the altar, which can be unlocked only by several keys, which are in the keeping of different officials. Inside is the Palladium of Naples, the phial containing a hard brown substance said to be the blood of St. Januarius, who was martyred in the year AD 305. 3 times a year, upon the first Sunday in May, upon September 19th and December 16th, in the course of a noisy ceremony, the saint's blood generally liquefies, and sometimes turns red and appears, as many have said who have seen it, to boil. The reliquary is circular, and in size and shape is like a hand mirror. Clear glass back and front protects and also reveals 2 ancient phials inside, which contain the sacred blood. I wondered how many of us, if we came across this reliquary in the window of a curiosity shop, would give it a second glance. The substance has never been chemically examined, therefore no one really knows whether it is truly blood or something else.
Now, while my thanks go to Sean Patrick Lovett for reading that passage from H.V. Morton's A Traveller in Southern Italy for us, I'd like to share with you an interview focusing precisely on this phenomenon of liquefaction. I do that with Jesuit Father Pietro Michele Garofalo, who's Neapolitan born, of course.
Father, Neapolitans have a particular devotion to Saint Januarius, or San Gennaro, as you call him in Naples. He's their patron saint. They pray to him for protection from earthquake, eruptions of Vesuvius, and for all kinds of personal reasons. It's a devotion linked to the blood of San Gennaro, preserved in 2 glass vials in the city's cathedral. Can you explain?
Oh, yes. The so-called the sign, this spiritual sign or miracle, it depends on how people might say. Cardinal Ursi, years ago, when he was the Cardinal of Naples, he might call it a sign. There are 2 files, that's right, 2 files, but really, generally they say one, because one, really, in one there is a lot of blood or a solid material. After, say, 2 minutes, half an hour, 2 hours, it melts. And the way in which it melts is never is exactly the same, because generally, you see, on September the 19th, when really it started, because it's the day St. Januarius was beheaded, the other small file is really very small, of different qualities, that there are some, you know, say, some drops, but really in one file it takes place, and there have been endless investigations about it.
Well, as you've just heard, Father Garofalo tells me there has been extensive scientific research surrounding this phenomenon down the centuries. No analysis of the blood inside the fowls has ever been carried out. That's forbidden for fear the fowls might break. Taking place several times a year on the days linked in a particular way to San Gennaro and carefully documented in a diary since 1659, hidden away inside the cathedral, this phenomenon is a complex one, he insists. But it does have a pattern to it.
It runs for 8 days.
You mean the blood stays liquid for eight days?
That's right. It becomes liquid in different ways, because sometimes it looks, it's boiling. It's very red. I have seen it.
But it doesn't always happen, does it?
Oh, no, it's connected with famine, with plague, with the eruption of the Vesuvius. When the eruption of Vesuvius took place, I mean, the miracle didn't happen.
Which would explain why a people who live at the foot of a volcano like Vesuvius are keen to make sure the blood of San Gennaro does liquefy. Although Father Garofalo does add that beyond this phenomenon, Neapolitans are anyway people with strong faith. But I wondered, where does this event actually take place?
Generally, extraordinary fact, it takes place in the chapel. And there, behind the altar, where the blood is kept, the bishop, the cardinal, takes into, and people begin pray.
The miracle takes place in the presence of the hierarchy and occurs whatever the weather. The only thing that changes is the time it takes for the liquefaction to occur.
It's unexplainable, in other words. So that's why they call it a miracle, because it goes beyond knowledge. There are cases in which the blood, I mean, when it stops, when it may stop even obliquely, and it may last, say, half an hour, 2 hours, with this different kind of weather. It doesn't depend from the weather. It doesn't depend on anything. I mean, everything what had been, it goes beyond our reasoning.
Out of curiosity, I asked if the files were shown to the faithful and if candles were used to light this process. Once again, the fear of breaking the files surfaced. Candles are forbidden, I was told.
They use an electric torch in order to show in a better way for the people, because the cardinal goes around in order to show that people can kiss and see. Moving, they can see quite clearly that their blood is really moving, and it is really blood. I mean, the strange thing for people who want to rationalize too much is the fact that, well, why on earth this takes place all the time? It becomes like a spectacle. I mean, it becomes like a show. Some people might say that God gives us, to the Neapolitans, the possibility that it doesn't give to others in a way.
So this is a miracle rather than just a popular devotion. Can you
play? It's a miracle. It's a miracle and public devotion as well, of course. It's public devotion. But the public devotion is focused, is helped by the miracle.
Can you place the devotion into its historical context? Who was Januarius, San Gennaro?
San Gennaro, he was the bishop of Benevento, but he was born in Naples. Why was he killed, was beheaded in Pozzuoli, near Pozzuoli? Because he went there to visit some of his friends who were taken into prison. And once discovered, he too was taken into prison and then offices and condemned.
So he was a persecuted Christian and he became a martyr?
Yes, I mean, it was the hardest persecution at the time. It was the persecution of the Diocletian between 303, 305. We don't know exactly if this happened in 303 or 304. I mean, this was the period in which really the persecution hardened all over the places. People should come and see. You see, this is really very important because otherwise, I mean, words do not give the right impression. One has to see and, of course, then organize, read about it in order to understand, I mean, this this extraordinary event, because it's an extraordinary event.
My thanks there go to Jesuit Father Pietro Michele Garofalo for enlightening us on this popular devotion. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.